Good morning and welcome. My name's Norman and I'm from Alive Christian Ministries. As we begin our time together, I just want to start by praying. Father, Lord of all creation, the only one who is sovereign and over all the situations we find ourselves in, we thank you for the life that we have through Jesus Christ. And as we spend time together now, Holy Spirit, come upon us. Anoint us that we might understand what you are saying to us, that we might have hope, that we might have trust and confidence in who you are, Lord God, and that we would have peace. Father, we do pray for the sick and those who are working hard to help them in this country at this time. We pray for our government, for Boris especially, Lord, that you would heal him and everybody else affected by this disease, that you would continue to protect all the people working in the NHS and all the other services that are being maintained at this time to help us as we go through this time. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to sing our first song, and this song is one that was recorded by our worship team before the lockdown began. So it's been 5 days since Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which we heard about last Sunday, Palm Sunday, where the crowds lined the streets, laid their coats down before him, and waved palm branches in the air, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, welcome to the King of Kings." It's been an eventful week up to now. We've seen him Jesus clearing the temple, we've seen him teaching people, being questioned, we've seen him speaking about the future and sharing the Passover meal with his disciples, we've seen him share the Last Supper and in the Garden of Gethsemane cry out in anguish, "Lord, if this cup could be taken away from me, then let it be so, but your will, not mine." And then we see him betrayed and arrested. There is a lot about this in the Gospels. In fact, Esper's Gospel has this account in one form or another, written from different viewpoints, different perspectives, but the central truth is there. So here we are on Friday morning, the very early hours, and I'm going to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away and turned him over to Pilate. "Are you the King of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of." But still Jesus made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" asked Pilate. Knowing it was out of envy, the chief priest had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the Praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right, one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who were going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, Lama Sambachathani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. One man rang, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone, let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Jose and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jose, saw where he was laid. A lot has happened. Jesus has been handed over to be crucified. He's been mocked. He's been beaten. He's been crucified. He's died on the cross. In John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 19, verse 30, he said, Jesus cries out, it is finished. From this we now know, because we know what comes next. We know that it is paid in full. God's work of salvation is completed. The full penalty that's required for our sin, for my sin, for your sin, is paid in full. It is finished. The work that Jesus came to complete on earth is finished. It goes back to the beginning of the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29, where John the Baptist sees Jesus coming in the distance and he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now this clearly was not what the people were expecting. They were expecting the Messiah to come as a king who would establish the kingdom, who would overthrow the Roman government. But God's plan of salvation is for all men. God's plan of salvation was not just for the people living in that time. God's plan of salvation is for you, it's for me. And that's why we have hope. That's why we have an expectation of forgiveness of sins, of freedom, of peace, that comes from knowing that this life isn't all there is, that we have a future in eternity, a future with him in heaven. But that life in its abundance, which Jesus also talks about, starts here and now. And so at this time, especially at this time where things in this world seem dark and times must have seemed dark to the disciples, those that had followed Jesus right at this moment in time, when all they could see in the natural, all they could see in the physical was Jesus dead, his body taken down and laid in a tomb. Times must have seemed dark. And times seem dark now. The coronavirus is spreading. There's seemingly no end. People are dying. I'm now becoming aware of people that I know that have been in hospital. Nobody that I know has died yet, but there's a good chance that that may well happen. That may well happen to all of us. But that doesn't change the hope we have in Jesus. That doesn't change the life that he bought for us by dying on the cross. And remember, we know that Sunday's coming. We know that Sunday comes and Jesus rises from the dead. We know that he ascends to be in heaven with the Father. We know he intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. We know that our future with him is certain. If we declare Jesus as Lord and Saviour, if we ask him for forgiveness, then we have that hope that cannot be shaken. And we can have peace, regardless of what's going on around us. We can have peace because we know who we are and we know where we're going. We know that this life is not all there is. But most of all, right at this moment, I want to pray for peace. I want to pray for a sense of hope, because we know that Jesus died to pay it all for us. We know that Jesus paid everything. And that the situation of Jesus being crucified was part of God's plan. It may not have seemed so to the disciples at the time, and to us even now it seems, or to me anyway, it seems odd. But God is sovereign, God is in control, and he has a plan. And that plan is that all men come to him, come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour, that all might be saved, and that we might all spend eternity in glory in the presence of God. So, as I've said, these times may seem dark, despite the weather, which is absolutely glorious outside, but we do have hope because of who Jesus is. Good Friday had to happen, the crucifixion had to happen, because you can't have resurrection from life, you can only have resurrection from the dead. And God knew what was going to happen, God knew what had to happen, the same way he knows what has to happen now. And so, just before we sing our final song, I just want to pray for us. Father, once again, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the life he lived on this earth, for his death and ultimately his resurrection. Lord, we thank you that he didn't shy away from that which you asked him to do, but knowing the prize set before him, knowing that it was your eternal plan to bring salvation to many, that he went to the cross. So Father, I pray for peace, I pray for hope, that we might rejoice, yes, rejoice in the cross, because that is where our sins were paid for, that is where our lives are bought, where our salvation is secured. And once again, I want to pray for the leaders of not only this land, but all the countries in the world, that everybody might know you, Lord Jesus, that you might bring healing, you might bring relief, but most of all, we would see salvation and life around us. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are and what you did for us. Amen. Okay, and so now we're going to sing our last song. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Amen.
Entered all his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. This is a God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to